joining us on KBR 680. He's the host of Dodger Talk, a very familiar name and voice up here in the Bay Area. Covered a lot of teams as a writer and, of course, a broadcaster in Modesto. He's now the host of Dodger Talk down in Southern California. Don't turn off the radios. He's okay. I want to talk to him, Josh Sushan here. Josh, nice to have you on the show, first of all. Spring training baseball, there's nothing better.
It's pretty fun. You know, no matter how many times you come back here, I remember the first time I came to spring training in 1987 as a freshman in high school, and it was so much fun. I remember coming back to my high school, Foothill High School in Pleasanton, and first thing all my classmates thought was, wow, you're so tan. Like, how did you get so tan? I'm like, I had the best week of my life. And I hung out with my grandparents and really got to know them and watch ball games every day. And every year I come back, I think about that first year. And I think this is my 20th year here, which shows how old I'm finally getting. But it's always fun.
Well, the Giant-Dodger rivalry, it's huge. And I've done shows this year. I said, other than the Dodgers, who's the biggest rival for the Giants? And it's kind of the Phillies now or the Padres. But nothing can come close to the Dodger-Giant rivalry. Will it be different now that the Giants have won the World Series?
Absolutely, I think it's different. There's no question. I'm sure for a lot of Dodger fans, their number one thing that they would say to Giants fans is, how many World Series have you won since coming to San Francisco? So I'm sure the Giants will, you know, they've got their one, and now I'm sure the Dodger fans are still going to say scoreboard about how many total, and I'm sure the Giants fans are going to come back and say, yeah, well, when was the last one? 88? Most of us weren't even alive back then. Look, I think that rivalries are what makes sports great, and I think that from my perspective, I always want the Giants and the Dodgers to both be good. I always want them fighting for something, because then it matters. If one team is on top and the other's on the bottom, I guess in some ways it's fun, but I think it's more fun when they're fighting for first place, and I think that that's what makes sports fun, and that's why we pay attention to sports, because it's an escape, and we want it to matter where it means something.
Boy, Giants-Dodgers, I just say it, and the goosebumps come out already. The ball club, what an off-season, and I guess we have to start with that. The McCourts and how that may impact the club, the divorce. Does it have an effect on the team on the field?
I honestly don't think that it does, and I've said this a lot, and I know some people totally disagree with me. Now, there might be something to be said about what goes on with the front office and how much money you have to spend, but if you're Andre Ethier and you're in the batter's box and you're thinking about the divorce, then you've got problems. Or if you're Chad Billingsley and you're on the mound, I think that from a player's standpoint, as long as the paycheck arrives on the 1st and the 15th of the month, they're going to be fine. So it's obviously the major story for the Dodgers now, going on well over a year, and I have no idea how this thing's going to end up. I have a feeling we're still a long ways from this thing being decided, but I've thought this from day one, that it does not affect what happened on the field. What happened on the field last year, the bullpen fell apart, they didn't hit in the second half. I don't think that had anything to do with lawyers or Frank or Jamie McCourt or anything like that.
No, probably just money in terms of building a team or making additions and things like that. Money may be tighter.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I still think the Dodgers have a payroll that's enough to win a World Series. There's teams that have a much less payroll who have won World Series. I think every team always wants their ownership to spend more money than they currently are. There's probably Yankee fans who think that their payroll isn't high enough, that they should spend even more money. So that's never going to change. And it's always easy to spend somebody else's money than it is to spend your own money. But overall, it's, you know, and I know that Ned Coletti has said this a lot, it's not necessarily how much money it is, it's how you spend money. And let's be honest, the Dodgers' track record is whenever they have spent a lot of money, whether it's Kevin Brown a couple of GMs ago, or whether it's Jason Schmidt or Juan Pierre or Manny Ramirez, the big contracts have kind of blown up in their face. And I'm sure that that's in the back of the minds of ownership and Ned Coletti as well.
Yeah, I've always said evaluation is the key in any sport. Josh Sushan with us, the host of Dodger Talk. Don Mattingly, new manager, and of course up in the Bay Area, we love the game with Bochy, you know, kind of exposed him for the two trips to the mound. It was a pivotal part of that series and kind of got the Giants going once again. But how's he doing in spring? What do you see with Don Mattingly as the manager?
The main thing that we've noticed with Don is he's extremely more hands-on than Joe Torre was, and that's not necessarily a knock against Joe, but, you know, part of Joe's job was to be Joe Torre. That was part of the job description, would be to be an ambassador, to talk to the media, to talk to different groups, to talk to celebrities. That was kind of part of the gig for him. Mattingly isn't expected to do that kind of stuff. He's on the field. What I think is one of the coolest things, and do you tell me, Marty, since you've been watching this even more than me, I've never seen a manager, when guys are throwing their bullpen sessions, Donnie stands in the batter's box with a bat, because he feels like that's the best perspective for him as a former player. So he'll stand right in there. He's not going to take any swings, but he'll look so we can kind of get a feel for what the ball looks like. looks like as it's coming across home plate, and that's how he's kind of judging. You know, he's out on the field a lot more with the rundown drills and things like that, and it's a byproduct of his youth and the fact that he just wants to be more hands-on. I think it's been pretty fun to watch.
You think he's a good fundamental manager running the game? He seems like a very quiet guy. And sometimes, not to say Walter Alston was a very quiet man and was a Hall of Fame manager, but what sort of the personality? How does it translate?
You know, what players have told me is that he's a lot more emotional than he lets on. That behind the scenes, when they're in the batting cage, when nobody's looking, that he'll get on guys. And they tell me that late in the season, he gave us, you know, he was really upset at some of the veterans because there was a bunch of rookies who were called up, and he didn't like that. He didn't like the leadership that they were showing, and the lack of leadership that they were showing. So I think he's more fiery than we think. I know that having, you know, one of my jobs is to grab a post game interview right after the game, and so I'm right next to the dugout, and I know that he's a guy who likes to chirp at the umpires, who really likes to get on them. So I mean, I kind of felt the same way as you, as I thought that he was a pretty mild mannered guy, and I still think he is. He's not going to argue the way that Tommy Lasorda did, but he's going to be a guy who's going to have a lot of energy. We don't know X's and O's tactician wise. We don't know how he's going to be, because he's never managed. He had some in the Arizona Fall League, but that's just all about letting guys play and development. We have no idea, and that's one of the things that we're interested in finding out.
Boy, interesting. They said Gabe Kapler has managed more professional games than Don Mattingly.
Yeah, it has. You know, Gabe Kapler went down to the minor leagues a few years ago, and now he came back. He does have, Donnie, that is, does have a very good staff, a fantastic staff. In fact, Trey Hillman, who I remember interviewing when he was when the A's were thinking about hiring him, he's the bench coach. Larry Bowe is gone. Davey Lopes is now the first base coach and in charge of the base running. In my mind, and a lot of other people's minds, Davey Lopes is the best base running coach in baseball. You look at the Phillies the last 4 years, not just their stolen bases, but their stolen base percentage, definitely the best in baseball. Tim Wallach, a third base coach, Rick Honeycutt, who A's fans know extremely well. He's been very good as the pitching coach for a long time. So I think that Donnie surrounded himself with a very good staff.
All right, nice to have Josh Sushan with us. Dodger talk after the game. Well, what about the ball club itself? You know, I talk about it a lot. I say, well, when Kemp, Ethier, and Loney grow up and no Manny around, then they become the guys that can carry everybody else, then I'll worry about the Dodgers. But they have good starting pitching. The bullpen's reworked, and they do have some players who can hit, including Juan Uribe.
That's right. Juan Uribe is going to be an interesting story because the Dodgers don't have a whole lot of power. After Ethier and Kemp, Casey Blake is not the player that he once was from a home runs perspective. I don't think the Loney's ever going to hit home runs. I kind of drank the Kool-Aid last year and thought that he was going to finally hit at least 15, if not 20. I think that he's a 10 to 12 homer guy. You know, and Jay Gibbons and Marcus Timms is the platoon in left. We'll see what kind of power they get. They really need the power from Juan Uribe. But ultimately, I still think it comes down to how do your 3 and 4 hitters do? Loney, I put in there as well, because he's kind of the number 5 hitter. Loney, Ethier, Kemp. How well those 3 guys do? And then if Jonathan Broxton pitches like he did in the second half last year, the Dodgers have no chance. He has to get back to the all-star form. He's going to need some help from the relievers around him. I agree with you. The rotation's solid. They started with 6 starting pitchers. They're already down to 4 since Padilla and Garland are both going to miss opening day. So we'll see what they're able to mix and match until those 2 guys come back.
Yeah, but Kershaw's had a great spring. Billingsley, certainly, and Ted Lilly. You look at him and Kuroda. They're solid. I mean, I tell the Giant fans, you know, they're solid starting pitching. You got to watch out for them.
I'm expecting a lot of really low-scoring games, Marty. A lot of 2-1 games, 3-1 games. Kershaw against Tim Lincecum on opening day, it doesn't get much better than that. And then it's probably going to be, what, Chad Billingsley against Matt Cain on the second game of the season. And you know, maybe Sanchez, and if Sanchez doesn't go there, probably go third, and Ted Lilly's going then. You're going to have some really good games. We've seen that the last few years. Low-scoring games, close games where one play, whether it's defensive, whether it's on the bases, whether it's an outfielder cutting off a ball in the gap, can make the difference in the game. And to my mind, those are the most fun games to watch.
Boy, Giants-Dodgers, you got me ready. I'm glad you're with us. I really am, Josh. Nice to see you at the park. And, boy, what a season ahead. We're going to do a lot of talking.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun year, and it's always fun to come on with you, Marty.